Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I am your host, Connie Whitman. So every week, as you tune in, I really, really hope that my guests and I are providing some cool ideas, tips, strategies that you can immediately implement on your road to change. And whatever that means for you, whether you're growing clients, whether you're growing a business, whether you're changing careers, doesn't matter. Change is change, and how we address it and kind of attack it is important. So hopefully my guests and I help you on that journey. As a gift to, again, continue to help you on this journey, please go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA and take your free communication style assessment. It gives you some insight into your kind of natural communication strategies or superpowers, better word. Also gives you a little shining light on some of your blind spots. And we have to be really mindful of those blind spots to create the change that we're looking for. So again, whitmanassoc.com/CSA. It's free. I love sharing things with you, and I hope you take advantage of that opportunity. Last thing, please, please, if you're enjoying the show, please rate a little loving review. I do read them. Subscribe, and just share with your peeps as well, because my job is to get the message out there that change is easier than we think, and I hope that I am on a mission to help you navigate that change. So thank you for tuning in today. So my motivational quote to get us kind of in the zone of our conversation is by Dave Ramsey, and Dave says, "Financial peace isn't the acquisition of stuff. It's learning to live on less than you make so you can give money back and have money to invest. You can't win until you do this." So how many of you have money issues, right? We all do. How many of you will have enough? This is probably the more important question. How many of you will have enough money to retire? Or if you're thinking, nah, I don't really want to retire, will you at least be able to slow down at some point in the future? And do you know what a budget is? And again, more importantly, do you know how to manage a budget that's actually going to help you build wealth? If you're intrigued and hopefully curious about this topic, of course, you're in store for a treat. I have my amazing guest, Sheila Netty. Now, Sheila is a wealth empowerment coach. She has over 30 years of corporate IT, military, government, small business, and coaching experience. After resolving her own money challenges, Sheila was able to retire at the age of 55 using the same wealth-building principles she teaches her clients. So please help me welcome my wonderful friend and beautiful, amazing wealth manager, Sheila Netty, to the show. So Sheila, thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. And here's the thing, right, Sheila? This is an important topic. We don't want to say, and we all grew up with money issues, right? Money doesn't grow on trees and, you know, all of those kinds of negative imagery or feelings around money. But here's the reality. Health, I always think, is the most important thing, right? Because if you're not healthy, you're not making any money anyway. Second for me is family, right? From a value standpoint, I want to help my family. But the third, to be able to do all of that, you need money. So money is an important topic, and I'm not saying be a money mongrel person, but you have to understand the mechanics of money. And again, God bless that you were able to retire at the age of 55, and yet here you are still working.
Yes. Definitely a choice, right? So I retired at 55 and thought, okay, you know, you think, okay, you get to 55, you're done, right? I'm retired. But, you know, did the traveling and everything else for about a year and decided, okay, that was interesting. Now I'm ready to do something else. I'm not ready to just kind of, you know, sit on my laurels and do nothing. And I felt the need to help change the conversation around money. I thought I could see all of the struggles that people were having and felt like, okay, I can contribute. There's a lot of people who would love to be able to do what I did and have the freedom, you know, and the ability to, as you said, slow down, make a decision. They may not decide that they want to retire. They may love their job or their business, but they want to have that flexibility to be able to say, I only want to work this many hours and life doesn't change, or I want to travel for half the year and work for the other part of the year, or, and have those options and those choices is really the key for me of building true wealth, having that ability.
And choices are important, right? It's, I don't want to be forced to have to, and I'm, this is disgusting, but like eat dog food, right? I don't want to be forced that this decision is made for me. So my control freaks out there, you're in good company. We want to make sure that you have the information to be able to, again, just create that wealth over your lifetime. Why after retiring and then kind of choosing to come back with the money piece, is what's the passion? Like what was the catalyst for you? Maybe that's the better question.
What I saw going on in the marketplace, if you will, or in the world, was I felt an attack on the middle class. I felt like little by little, the middle class was being shrunk. Yeah. And a lot of it had to do with not having the education, right? Not having financial literacy taught in schools.
Yeah.
And so here we are, we're growing up with not having an understanding of money, not having an understanding of how to grow it, how to manage it well, so that we could actually, you know, accumulate wealth. And then we're kind of little by little shrinking. We're not able to take advantage of the jobs aren't there necessarily in some cases, but a lot of it is the knowledge, the ability to change your thoughts around money, change your mindset and your behaviors and all of the things that are contributing to having less money than you would like to have in order to retire, but also having the knowledge, the education, I felt like it was so missing. And I felt like if I could help people really understand and get as much education out there, then they would have the tools to be able to help their families to be able to, you know, shift this so that on a generational level. And I focused on women primarily at first, more so because of that. I wanted to be able to teach women all about money so that they could teach their children, so we could actually shift this on a generational level, and so that next generation would have the knowledge and we wouldn't have this what I felt a really big disparity that was growing and growing.
It's true. You know, the middle class is absolutely shrinking, which, and the disparity is growing. It's kind of tragic. And it's funny, my kids, you know, growing up in Homedale, and I don't know if this is national, but here in New Jersey, that school system happened to be one of the best in our state. And they implemented every freshman coming into high school, they had to take a semester of financial literacy. They taught them a budget and they gave them different scenarios. They taught them about stocks and bonds, and they actually gave them play money that throughout the entire semester, they had to invest, buy, sell, and a little bit of a challenge and, of course, competition. So at the end, they could see how those stocks, bonds, and how it goes up and down, right? It's all about the fluctuation, but really made them aware of the market. And I giggle, you know, my kids are now 21 and 24, and they both do little investing. It's great. So they open like an E-Trade account. They put, you know, X amount of dollars in it. They don't have a lot of money. They were students. You know, my one son is graduating in May, but every time he got a little gift, or, you know, at Christmas, he took a percentage and he put it into his E-Trade. And we talk about stocks, you know, at dinner. It's really fascinating. But I think that financial literacy at school is critical. Are they doing that on a national level? Again, I know they did it in my school.
No, they are not. That's the sad part. It is not on a national level. I wish it was.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad to hear that there are schools. And there are. There have been programs created by different organizations to help. I mean, the curriculum is there, meaning it's available for free from some nonprofits who have created it to give to schools, but then the schools seem to not have the time to be able to teach it. And so therefore it's not being taught, especially not in California. I can say that completely. It is not taught in most schools. It may happen in some private schools, but not in the public school system.
You know, and it makes me crazy because maybe here in Jersey it is because we're right by New York, right? New York is a 40-minute ferry ride from my house, literally. So we're right there by the financial, you know, mayhem of Manhattan. But the other thing I think, I know we're getting off topic here briefly, but I think they should teach kids more public speaking because they, especially with the texting, and they're always on their texting on their phone, social media, Instagram, all of that. They're losing the art of communicating verbally as well as written, but that's another whole story. So I think financial literacy and public speaking are two needed skills that I think they should start literally in first grade and start to teach, you know, little basic things, you know, put a quarter in your piggy bank and save for college, or a quarter in your piggy bank to save for a house or whatever it is that, you know, your family dynamic would support. Now, you mentioned women. Women, do you have like a blueprint to help them kind of move towards that wealth perspective?
Yes, I do. I actually have about five things I feel are critical in order to move from where they are right now. If they're not on a path to where they want to go as far as wealth, how do they get there? So the first part, which I didn't realize myself until I was a little bit down the road, is mindset, doing the inner work. Mm. Now, I'm sure people have heard of it. I know I have. People have heard, oh, you've got to have a positive money mindset. Well, that's not all there is to it. Mm. You can't just have a positive mindset. That's nice. You know that, don't get me wrong. But if you have beliefs and thoughts and behaviors that are not supporting where you mentally, you know, your brain says you want to go, then those are driving the ship. You are not going to get where you want to go. And what I end up doing with my clients, the first thing we do is dive into their beliefs, really critically get in there to figure out what is it. Because more often than not, if, as I said, if you're not doing the things that you know you should be doing, because everybody, you know, you hear, well, I know what to do, but I don't do it. That's why. You have these thoughts that are stopping you. And unless you uncover them and reframe them, they will continue to drive and you will not reach your goals.
I would think that would be for men and women, right, Sheila?
It is for both. Yeah. It really does hit, because if you don't have the behaviors and the thoughts that will help move you toward your dreams, you can't make them a reality.
Absolutely.
It just isn't going to happen, because deep down in your subconscious, you believe something else. So and a lot of this had to do with what we were brought up, right? We get our first interaction with money from watching our parents and whoever brought us up, how they interact with money. And, you know, they didn't have anybody teaching them. So whatever their skills are, is what you ended up taking on. And then also that first interaction with money, what was it for each person? Depending on that interaction and that lesson they learned from it, will then, you know, determine how they deal with money in their own lives. And another thing that happens too is that people beat themselves up for mistakes. They, you know, you beat yourself up, you made a mistake. Okay, we should be learning from our mistakes, look at them as lessons. But unfortunately, we beat ourselves up and then we think, okay, I'm not good with money. If you think that, then you are correct. You will not be good with money if you believe it.
That's right. What you say, it becomes your reality. So that feeling forward, I love that concept of, yep, you made a mistake. Okay, what did you learn from it? Don't just say, oh, I'm bad with money. Oh, I'm stupid. Oh, I was never taught how to deal with money. Stop saying those things and say, well, okay, I wasn't taught about money. What do I need to learn? Take control of the situation. And the other thing, and I don't know if this is true for you, I think we're peers from an age standpoint. You know, my mom and dad are still alive, 90 and 92. She was born in 1929 when the crisis, you know, the financial crisis, right? The stock market crash. So think about her early, that 0 through 5 time frame of they literally had no food. They had no money. You know, there were 5 daughters, you know, ultimately in that family. Her mindset about money is, you know, we're broke. We don't have money. And that really wasn't true, but she was so afraid of spending, because then what if, right? And that's, you can't make decisions out of fear, but she was born in 1929. She lived and breathed it those first 5 years where there was true hardship. So you get where she's coming from. But now that has imprinted on me, myself and my siblings. You have to change your paradigm of thinking. I agree 100%. And anybody else, if you can relate to that, right? If you have parents like I do that, you know, that financial crisis where that's where they grew up, think about that. Stop and pause and think for a minute what was imprinted on you. That was one. You said there's five. Can you go through the other four? We do have time for that if you're okay with it.
Yeah, I'm sure. So the next one is creating a vision. I think it's important that you create a vision for your life. What is this money for? Like, what do you want to do? What do you want to create? I think that we don't take the time to really imagine what we really want and what we really truly desire. Mm. And in some cases, we decide offhandedly, or someone else has decided for us, that it's not possible. And as long as you are, again, thinking it's not possible, it's not possible. And
yep.
so... what I find is that the vision is helpful for driving the shift that you want to make in your behaviors. So by having this vision that you've created and you want, and I feel it's so important to imbue it with feelings and emotions, and even if you can create a scene about how your life is, who you want to become with money, then that is really going to drive your behaviors and shift you in ways that you didn't even imagine. And it helps when things get tough, because you've got this vision, you're holding this vision of where you want to go and what you want this money for and what you want to create for your family. And that will help drive you when things are hard. So, you know, they always say find your why. In this case, it is a why, but it's a bigger thing, because you now know what you want to feel and be and have. And it's not just about things. It's also your life and how your life looks. So that's the second thing.
And I just want to comment. That's really law of attraction, right? To have the vision, having feeling it like I can do this. I am this. I can have that, right? With ease, whatever the positive affirmations. But it's more than that, right? Yes, you have to have change the mindset. Yes, you have to have the vision. There also has to be an element of action, which I know you're going to probably talk about. But that's that law of attraction, guys. This stuff works. So I really, really want you to hear what Sheila's saying. Because that was also brilliant. So number one, just change your mindset. Where did those imprints come from? Number two, what is that vision for the future? Live, breathe it, feel it, really, really become part of that future, right? Who you want to be, and really embrace it. What's the third one, Sheila?
The third one is what I call learning the secret language of money, which is basically becoming fluent with your numbers. So knowing where you are, understanding, because I find that a lot of people, they'll tell you they know how much they have in the bank, or they'll know how much they kind of know, but they don't actually have an actual spending plan or a budget. I like spending plans because I feel like that helps drive your priorities. So you're not looking at this thing as restricting you. You're looking at this thing of empowering you, so that you know where your money is going, and is it in line with your vision? It also helps drive your actions, because you say, yes, this is law of attraction. You want to use the vision, but this is now putting, you know, action into place, looking at where you are, how much you're spending in different areas, and are they supporting your priorities? The biggest thing I say in here is coming up with that foundational piece of having a safety net. So building that up so that you have, well, we have challenging times right at the moment. And if you are dealing with that, if you had a safety net, you would have been able to navigate that a lot more easily. Where if you didn't, then you could find yourself struggling, falling into debt. And I also feel like, but if you have a plan, you have a spending plan, it helps everything. Because then you could also find the money you need to establish the safety net, but then also start saving so that you can actually put that and invest. So it helps you find the money in your current budget. It also helps you determine the gap. Where are you now and where do you want to go? So by learning all about your numbers and where are you now, it is just a snapshot in time when you take that kind of net worth and figure out where you are right now. Then you can figure out where you want to go. And again, don't beat yourself up about where you are right now. You figure out where. And sometimes people find out they're in a lot better place than they thought, and the gap isn't that big. Right. But they were dreading it and, you know, and concern and worrying when they really didn't need to. And in some cases, this will help get you moving.
Yeah. We're not taught this stuff, which is, I mean, I was, because I have a finance degree and I have an MBA in finance. But most people, like, and they go, yeah, I know what a budget is. Knowing what a budget is and applying a budget and actually executing the budget and holding yourself accountable. And here's the other thing. You know this, right? You put yourself on a budget and then you lose a job. You put yourself on a budget and the car breaks down. You know, you put yourself on a budget and something that you couldn't control goes wrong. We've all experienced that. The idea though is, okay, I do have the safety net, or, ooh, I don't have the safety net. You know what? What do I need to do without to be able to now make that car payment or whatever it is? So sometimes my mom used to say, rob Peter to pay Paul, right? Take it from one pocket to put it into the other pocket. So I find like finance money in, you know, internally, because life changes. And a lot of times there are things that happen we can't control. That's life. But when you kind of have that fluidity where you can move money from here to there, or I'm not going to pay that, or let's do without that this month, or we need to do this month, right? So it's the need and the want as well. I love that. So yeah, the change your mindset, have the vision, and oh yeah, write down a plan. Otherwise, the vision is a dream and it will never come to fruition, right? What's the fourth one, Sheila? I'm loving this.
Awesome. The fourth one is of overcoming under-earning. Now, this is a big one, particularly for women. Mm-hmm. It's been found, as we know, historically, women are not paid their worth in most, you know, in a lot of jobs. And I went through this as well. Mm-hmm. And the only way I could go and get more money when I found out I had a gap between what I needed to have and in order to be able to create the wealth that I wanted, I had to change jobs. And this is an area that, as I said, it affects women primarily more than men. It does affect men too, but it's primarily women. And there are a couple of things you can do to deal with this. One is to look at the opportunities you can find to help you bridge the gap, in a sense. You can also look at starting a business, right? I did that as well. That was my way of helping to also generate more income. And a business can help you in so many ways, not just in that, but there's so many other advantages of having a business. And if you, depending on the business you pick, you can have that work quite seamlessly if you do have a corporate job with your current, you know, on your own schedule. There's a wonderful book called Overcoming Under-Earning by Barbara Stanley Houston. I love that book. And I actually have my clients read it who are in this particular boat, because I think it's important to kind of get that under control, because a lot of times this can be what's causing you not to hit your goal.
Is that part of mindset too, Sheila? Would that kind of almost be like a subset of that first step?
Yes, it is. Because a lot of times for me, I used to, when I was in corporate, a lot of times I would choose to say, okay, the job is so important. I'm going to focus on loving my job and I'm going to do the best job I can. And I'm not going to worry about the money. Well, that was a mindset issue. Mm. There was no reason I should have been accepting the fact that someone wasn't paying me for the work I was doing, where another male counterpart is getting more money and not doing as much work. And so that was a mindset issue. But my way of dealing with it was, you know, different. And it's different, has been different for other people. But I now realize that that was so important. And it is something that I see affects women more so than men. And so I definitely delve into it and work through this. But yeah, it is a mindset as well.
Yeah. And here's the reality. The statistics are what they are. And being a woman, and I don't know how you feel about this, but you know, when I hear women, and I'm not saying it isn't an issue. Of course, it's an issue that we get paid differently, right? We're on a different pay scale. It's aggravating. But my feeling is, well, then do something about it, right? You don't have to stay in that career or that industry or whatever it is. That's number one. Number two, and I say this to women, and I think they're horrified. We're the ones who have to have the babies. Men do not have the apparatus within their bodies to have the babies. So we are choosing to leave work or work part time, or so we, a lot of women, and for me, I started my business when my kids were little because the demands of corporate and what I wanted to be as a mom, but I knew I needed to work. Otherwise I would have been a horrible mom personally, right? I knew I needed that intellectual, challenge, but I thought I'm going to open my own business for other reasons as well, but it was that element of control, and not only control of my time, but control of my finances. That was a really big, scary choice, but a really big choice. So again, I agree with you 100%. I'm the one who had to have the babies. I'm the one who didn't want to keep working 60 hours a week because I wanted to be a mom. And I feel that was a choice. But then, you know, and I have women that choose to stay at home for 20 years. And God bless you. That's wonderful. That was a choice. But then you can't expect to step in after being out for 20 years and make the same as your colleagues that are men. To me, it's an illogical request. I don't know how you feel about that being a woman. And listen, I have two boys. So this whole women thing, you know, I hope the men are listening, because you have to teach your girls, your daughters, or your wife, right? Help them with this mindset of what control do I have so that I can make that extra money to create the vision I want. You have control over this, right? So again, I don't know how you feel. You don't have to comment on that at all, because you might have a totally opposite view of me. But I wanted to be a mom. I loved being a mom. So that was a choice I made, you know?
I think it comes into play. There are some choices to be made. But let's not over not view, not realize that there is some systemic things going on within
100%.
You know, corporations that are causing
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So crazy.
I agree with you. There is choices. That's why I suggest more often than not that if someone loves what they're doing, are there options? But I think it's speaking up for yourself sometimes that people are afraid of doing, which I get. But at that same time, I think you build up yourself. And I my way of dealing was I just moved on to another job. Exactly. I had more confidence in me. So I moved to another job where I did get that salary. So I did get what I wanted.
Exactly.
And so that was a choice.
Yeah.
But what I want to people to leave away with it. Yes, there are choices here. There are things that are impacting your ability to create the income that you need in order to achieve the life that you want. And there are ways to handle that.
Great.
And that's what the real.
Yeah. And I just want to comment too, the younger generation, I'm going to say 20s, maybe early 30s, maybe even mid 30s. They're courageous, Sheila, where they have their full-time job because they want to get the 401k, like all of that future planning. But they think, I'm not making enough money. I'm not going to tolerate this. So they start a side hustle. And then once they get enough of a nest egg, they could step into. So I find this next generation extremely entrepreneurial, which I'm loving because, again, it's that element. It's risky. It's risky because you don't have that steady paycheck. But that ability to say that confidence that you just said, I love that. Hey, wait a minute. I know I need to do this for now. But here's my backup plan so I don't have to do it forever. And the other thing I want to commend you on but you had the confidence to say, whoa, you're not paying me the same. I don't have to tolerate that, right? And screaming and yelling, that doesn't work. So you say, all right, well, you know what? You're going to lose my brilliance and I'm going to take it over to your competitor, right? Shame on you for letting me go. Because that's the other thing. These companies that have the systemic issues, you're not going to attract the creme de la creme and the more forward thinking companies that are like, wait a minute, I want to pay on ability. Forget whether I don't care if you're, you know, an upside down human being. Doesn't matter who's in front of me. What's the ability? And they're going to be more forward thinking. They're going to get the creme de la creme. And that's where the growth comes in too. So choose the company you work for. Does it meet your values? So I love that you said, yep, that's not working. And you found the one who respected you enough to pay you what you're worth. They're out there, right? You got to look for them. I love it. I love this information, Sheila. You're brilliant. What's the next one, sister?
Okay. So our last one is where we start investing. So I say start small and regularly. Mm. So basically, if you have, you know, there's a lot of to learn. There's a number of things to learn in this space about investing, but you can start small. I actually have my clients really start with paper money. Mm. I have them learn all the basics and then start with paper money. So they build up that knowledge and that confidence that they now know what to do with their actual money because it is a risk, right? So every investment is a risk.
Yes.
And I think it's important to know what you're getting into and understand it. And then you can go ahead and start doing it. And then you have, the stock market is one place to invest. It's also real estate. And so that's another way of investing. And I feel like you need to look at all of them and figure out the ones that work with your level of risk tolerance, as well as your ability to deal with it. Like in real estate, there's so many there's passive options. And then there's, you know, where you actually are in the middle of owning several, you know, properties yourself and managing them or whatever. You have to determine how much you want to be involved in that, but finding the ones that work, but starting small, is the key, really, starting and then doing it regularly, whether that's in your 401k is one thing, but I think you need to also be doing it elsewhere. So, because there's limited options within a 401k.
Agree.
Where if you're doing it on your own and you're doing it in an investment account that you manage, then you have control over the values that really are being, you can invest on your values. You can invest with companies that you feel are really doing good things in the world and still make a lot of money. It is possible. And that's where I really help, you know, people figure out, like, what are your values? What do you really want? And it comes back to that vision, right? And your beliefs and your thoughts and being able to pull all that together and know that you can work with companies and build up that wealth. Because unless your money is working for you, a lot of times you can't create wealth. That is the key. That is the ultimate last key of you need to have your money working for you and building that up. And this is one way to kind of get started. And then you it grows and it grows. And I'm not one of those people that I believe in investing, not trading. So that's another one.
Absolutely.
So those are two different things.
Again, two different things. I just want to comment on the real estate piece of it. You know, when I left my corporate job, I had a 401k. So I took that money and I put it into what's just called a self-directed IRA. For those listening, it's qualified money. So the government didn't tax me, except now I had the ability that I didn't just put it into E-Trade and go into mutual funds. I took those funds and I bought real estate. I bought property, income property, really. And just, I want everybody listening to understand, I live in New Jersey. There's no way I could have bought multiple properties because the real estate is way too expensive. Probably California the same. So we actually have, my husband also has property, plus we have money in the stock market, but we have property out in Cleveland. And it's much more affordable. You can have multiple properties, multiple family, single family, and we have a property management company. That real estate is held in trust for us so that there's no liability, but also it's an investment, right, for the future where we don't get income off of that. The income gets reinvested and then we buy another property and that continues from that perspective. So these self-directed IRAs, you could buy gold in that if you want. You could put anything in a self-directed IRA. But I love that Sheila's mentioning this opportunity with property. There is affordable property, especially my listeners who are in where the real estate is super, super expensive. So just keep that in mind as well. I just wanted to comment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Perfect. So yeah. So those are the things. We've covered all five. So as a recap, do that inner work. Really get into your mindset, figure out what your beliefs and your thoughts are around money and the behaviors that are not allowing you to really reach your dreams. Yeah. Then looking at your vision, coming up with that vision of where you want to go. What do you want this money for? What do you want to have in your life? What does that look like? And really being open to the fact that it is possible to create that vision and make it possible, you know, make it real. Next one, money, learning your numbers, really understanding where you are right now and then getting control of them, you know, so that you basically take control of your money and have it really available to you to use the way you want. Then overcoming under-earning, looking at your income gap, perhaps between where you are right now and where you need to be in order to really make this happen. And taking control of that, taking charge again, where you now deal with that and come up with whatever way, if that's starting a business, if that's changing jobs, if that's coming up with another job, whatever it is, you figure it out. But again, you're in control. You have choices and you can make it happen. And then, of course, the last, investing. Starting small, working your way up, getting knowledgeable about investing in either. And I believe stock market and real estate, just as Connie was talking about, she's got both, I've got both. It's really the best way to have money grow for you the most efficiently and quickly.
Yeah, and I just want to comment one more thing on the real estate. Like my husband and I, our plan is, right, as we keep contributing and as the rental properties continue to accumulate, right, it's a positive return on our money. We buy another property. And then our goal is when we do, I don't know that I'll ever retire. I'm one of those. But when I do decide to slow down a bit, we want to be able to live off of the income from the properties and leave all the assets alone and leave our 401k alone so that as we age, if you need to tap into the cash piece of it for health or medicine or the cost of healthcare, that's kind of, you know, how we separated how we're, that's, see, that's part of that vision that Sheila's talking about. And our, you know, hey, listen, there's more than one way to get the job done. Sheila and I aren't saying our way is 100% the right way. The other thing I want to comment, Sheila, within those five categories, everybody listening, please, please really think about your personal values, right? If you do feel underappreciated, what can you do about it? Don't go in like a crazy person and I quit, you know, take this job and shove it. You know, don't act in a rash way, act in a very logical way. So you have a plan and that once you do that, you're in control. But think about your values. Does the company you're working for meet your values? And if it's all about we want more and pay you less and you believe that's what you're worth, then is that your values? Go back and look at that because it shouldn't be, right? Change that. And that's part of that inner working. It all works together, Sheila. Just such a brilliant blueprint and it's logical. And it's easy to understand. And the way I love that you have your clients play with fake money first, so there's no risk, right? But you right. get the idea of practicing what to do with the money. So I just love that whole concept. We're out of time, but can you give us one, two, three little practical tips, everybody listening, that they can implement, like literally after they listen to the show?
Okay. The first thing you can do is get into your mindset. So journal. The best you can do is sit down and really take some time and do a stream of consciousness journaling. When you ask yourself the questions about money, mm-hmm. what comes up for you? What is there? That will be your first inroad into really finding out what's really underneath. And don't accept the first answer that comes up. Sometimes there's more under there that you need to dig. Number one, journal, find out what your beliefs are. The next one is get knowledgeable about your numbers. Really take the time to figure out what are your numbers, where are you, what is your financial state right at this moment, and now start implementing a plan to manage it. And really, again, the tools are there, you can do it, but you have to find the beliefs, and then that'll lead to your ability to go into your numbers and really get control of that. And then the next thing is to start investing small. Start with paper. That's my favorite way to start. But start learning about investing. It is so critical to be able to grow wealth. There's no other, because I haven't found, other than building a business that you can make, to build wealth. Those are the number of places to do it are I found are the best. So start investing. Start now. Don't wait. Start figuring it out and start getting involved.
Start now, because tomorrow's coming, people, right? Tomorrow's coming. Next year is coming. Just you have to start now, because then you look back and you go, oh, I would have had a year of, I could have $500 invested, right? If I put $20 a month or whatever it is, $250 a month. Another thing I want to, that when you look at the numbers, here's another just really quick tip. Look at your cable bill. Look at your cell phone bill. Is there something... Are there shows that you're not watching on your cable? You might be able to save $25 a month. Take that $25. Guess what? Put in a little savings account until you have enough to invest in a mutual fund or some other investment that feels comfortable for you. That could be, a $300 windfall. And I know everybody's like, $300, big deal. $300 times 10 years is $3,000, by the way. So when Sheila talks about the numbers, and now think about if you could do that $300 every year. So next year it's $600 and then you're $900. That $3,000 in 10 years is more like $20,000. So those little tweaks, is what Sheila is talking about when she says, look at your numbers. Really, really dive into those numbers and see what you're paying for that you're actually not using. And I think that's an important one too. A membership, or if there's a magazine that you find you're not reading anymore, and that's $30 a year, eliminate it. So it's
a good one.
Right? These little ones, these little things, is really what Sheila's talking about. You don't have to change your whole world and, stop buying steaks. If you like steaks, buy the steaks, right? We're not saying starve yourself. You have to do it with what's comfortable. Otherwise, you're not going to create the change. I believe you all need to have a conversation with Sheila. So Sheila's email address, which I'll give first, is Sheila@SheilaNetti.com. And Netti is Netti. .com, or go to her website. She has resources there as well that you can, get a vibe of who she is in addition to hearing her on the podcast. And that's SheilaNetti.com. Again, check Sheila out. I think that she'll be able to help you on your financial journey to the masses. Let's just say that we want to accumulate wealth. And I think Sheila is your first step. If you need more Connie, which I hope you always do, please check out my website, WhitmanAssoce.com. A ton of free resources. The podcasts are on there. My books are on there. My masterclass is on there. And if you need to get in touch with me, that's on there as well. So WhitmanAssoce.com and SheilaNetti.com. You have two fabulous women that you can reach out to and tap into our zones of genius. So Sheila, thank you for being on, and I really think, and again, no pressure, but I really think we need to have further conversations on money. So maybe you and I could do another show, pivot a little bit, and maybe talk about some success, some examples of what people have actually done, some of your clients, you know, little case studies. Because I think that when we hear what someone else has done, we go, oh, wait, I could do that. And it makes it a little even more tangible than these beautiful five steps that you shared. So if you're game, I'm game.
I'm there. Sounds like a plan.
Sheila's my kind of girl. I love talking about money, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on and for sharing just, again, simple strategies that everybody can apply now, today, immediately. Go for it, right? Just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you again. And you guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change, money's a big one, right, that we talked about today, but no matter the change, my experts and myself, we're really trying to share just some of our strategies and techniques to help you on your journey to change so that hopefully we make it just a little bit easier for you. And I think that's what my guests and I truly come from, that heart-centered place that we really want to make a difference in your life. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And I really do wish you an inspired week where try to just save a couple of dollars and report back to Sheila and I and let us know how that's going. We really would love to hear from you. So again, have an inspired week, and I'm happy that you're on this journey of change with me and with my guests as well. So thanks, everybody.